Will you please follow with me as I read a few verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. And I start from verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water, he was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Let us bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing. Our gracious Lord, we commit our service to you, Lord. I commit myself, I commit all my brothers and sisters. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the only one that can feed our souls from your precious word and bless every soul according to your richness. We pray, Lord, that you will be glorified in our midst, and you will be honored. And let everyone lift up their eyes and see none except Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would like to share with you this evening the story of this sick man who was lying at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. And Jesus came to him and asked him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another stepped down before me. Especially this phrase, I have no man. I don't know why Jesus came to this sick man especially, that was at the pool of Bethesda. At the place was crowded with sick people. Verse 3 tells us there was a great multitude of sick people. Blind, cannot see. Lame, cannot walk. Paralyzed and deformed and withered. This is the picture of those in the world who are gripped with desperate need. And their desperate hope and faith was in the water of the pool. They waited for an angel to come down and cause the water to bubble. And whoever stepped down first will be made whole of whatever disease he had. In this story or this miracle, we find that Jesus came only to this man. He did not heal anyone else in this specific condition. So why Jesus came to this man specifically? I think one of the main reasons is that he was lonely. He had no friends, no family, no one to help him or to care for him. So Jesus, by his divine power, he doesn't need anyone to tell him anything about anyone. He knows everything about everyone. So Jesus looked and he found many of them have friends or family members with them. Except this man, he has no one with him, no one to help him or to care for him. So Jesus moved with compassion and came to this lonely man who was left alone. But there could be another reason, and we find that in verse 5. It says, and a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. 38 years crippled with his disease. Whenever the water bubbled, another person stepped down before him. He was living in despair. His condition possibly was the worst. That is why Jesus came to him. And that is what Jesus does. When things become difficult and all the doors are closed and you feel no escape and no solution and you say, I have no man, no one to care or to help, you find the Son of God who raised the heaven to help you, as it says in Deuteronomy 33 verse 26, it says, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun who raised the heavens to help you and in his excellence on the clouds. No one like the Son, like the God of Jeshurun. And I would like to put before you some facts as I meditate with you in this phrase, I have no man. When Jesus came to this sick man and asked him, do you want to be made well? The sick man said, sir, I have no man. As if he would like to say to Jesus three things. first, I have no man, and this is because of my sin. Second, I have no man, and I am lonely. Third, I have no man, and this is my tragedy. First of all, I have no man, and this is because of my sin. Why do you think this man reached to this condition, paralyzed, lonely, and had no friends or family? We do not know for sure, but most probably his disease was the result of his sinful life. He lived a sinful life, and as a result of that, he became paralyzed. And I would like to say that it is not necessary at all that a disease or a sickness like stroke or heart attack or any disease could be the result of a sin. But in this particular case, this man was paralyzed because of his sinful life. Because when Jesus met with him again after healing him, when you look to verse 14, Jesus warned him and said, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." So Jesus saw this the man lying there and know everything about this his desperate condition. He knows that he was paralyzed due to his sinful life. But the striking point here is that it was Jesus who initiated the relationship, approaching the man and reaching out to help him. Jesus sees and knows everything about everyone. He reaches out to every man in compassion, offering help. This is because of his great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He reaches out through the message of his word, or through the witness of family or a friend, or the beauty of the nature, or thoughts about God that penetrates every man's mind. All that out of his great love and compassion. In Romans 8, verse 35, we read these words, "Who shall separate us from the love and compassion of Christ? Who shall separate us?" And he started to mention many things that you could imagine that it could separate us. And then he says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. Then the second point is that this man would like to say, "I have no man and I am lonely." He lived his life lonely. He has no friend, no family, no one to care for him. This is possibly because he was bitter, selfish, ungrateful. He brought it on himself. So all his friends and family left him and deserted him. I am saying so because if you look to verse 13, it says, when he was healed, he did not know who healed him. The least thing for someone who was sick for 38 years, paralyzed and crippled, and he was healed in a second, the least thing is that he should know who healed him and follow whoever healed him. But he did not. he did not know who healed him. So as a result of his loneliness, there was emptiness in his heart. He was hurting inside. There was hunger in his heart, but not for food, but for love and care. My dear friends, if you feel lonely and forsaken, and you feel you have no man or no one to help or to care, I assure you, Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. When you feel you have no one, he will be beside you, saying, "You are mine and I am yours." And David said, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." The third point this man would like to say, "I have no man, and this is my tragedy." "I have no man," he said to Jesus. "I have no one to help me, no one to put me into the pool." And I would like you to look to the words that he mentioned, and it showed how much he was in despair when he said, "But while I am coming, another steps down before me for 38 years." He had seen others healed at the water of Bethesda and going to their homes rejoicing. But for him, there had been no healing. So friendless, helpless, and hopeless, he just lay near the water, the wonder-working water, but derived no benefit from it. Year after year passing, and he was remaining the same. No hope for anything, and nothing to be expected except for the grave. Many people experience this in the race of this world. You see a young man applying for a job which is his dream. So he prepares all his papers and with his qualifications, but he returns back empty. When you ask him, "What happened?" he says, Another stepped in before me. But I would like to encourage everyone who feels lost or hopeless or lonely or living in despair, who feels that he has no man or no one to help or care, if you look to Jesus, you will find him beside you. Christ is the only unfailing friend of the friendless and the helper of the helpless. This reminds me of a story about a little boy that was standing at the side of the street, trembling. A man came to him and asked him, What is the matter?" The boy said, "My father went to heaven, and then my mother shortly after. But before leaving, before she left, she told me, 'Do not be afraid. Look for Jesus. He will come and take care of you. And I am here waiting for him. And I know that my mother does not lie.'" The man with tears in his eyes took him in his arms. The boy looked at him and said, "Sir, are you Jesus? Why it took you so long?" My dear brothers and sisters, look for Jesus in the face of difficulties of this world, and you will feel you have no, and when you feel you have no man, you will find the Lord telling you, "O Jacob, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. But how Jesus healed this man? You notice that Jesus did not pronounce a word of healing. Jesus merely commanded the man to act. He told him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." In the act, the man has to show his faith. If he believed Jesus, he will rise and took up his bed and walk. But if he did not believe, he will just remain as he is beside the water of Bethesda. But this sick man did not argue with Jesus. He did not say, "I had been 38 years unable to move, and you tell me, rise and take up your bed and walk?" Or he did not tell Jesus, "Just give me your hand and help me to get up." He did not say anything of that. All he had to do was to believe, simply to believe the word of Jesus Christ. And he believed. And verse 9 tells us, "And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked." But the story did not end at that. Look to verse 14. It says, "Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you.'" This is a picture of believers' responsibility. Notice that Jesus left immediately after healing this sick man. He left immediately because of the crowd. And he did not want to be known at that time. But the striking point again here is that Jesus sought the man out again. Remember, Jesus had reached out to save him. And now he was reaching him for another purpose. And when he found the man, a picture of the believer's responsibility was painted. And we find Jesus giving this man, and also giving us, four responsibilities. The first one is the duty to worship. The second one, the duty to remember his healing and his salvation. The third one is the duty to sin no more. And the fourth one, the duty to fear the day of judgment. Four responsibilities. The first one, there was the duty to worship. The man was found in the temple, it tells us, worshiping and giving thanks to God. This is the first responsibility for every believer, is to worship his Redeemer and to be present in the house of the Lord to worship every time the doors were open and the believers come together. We should be there to worship the Lord and to give thanks to our Savior and our Redeemer. Hebrews 10 and verse 25 tells us, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And also Psalm 84 and verse 2 tells us, "My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." This is the first responsibility for the believer, the duty to worship the Lord. The second, there was the duty to remember his healing and his salvation. This moment should never be forgotten or lost. When the Lord changes your life, and you are born again, and your sins were forgiven, this is should not be forgotten. It says in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. The third duty was, there was the duty to sin no more. As I said before, apparently that this man had been paralyzed, possibly because of some accident caused by his sin. And Jesus, when he met with him again in the temple, he warned him and told him, sin no more, sin no more. Sin should not have any grip on us anymore. Those who believed and committed themselves to Christ must not live in sin anymore. Romans 6:12 tells us, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Then the fourth responsibility, there was the duty to fear the judgment. Jesus warned the man that if he did not turn away from sin, his sin, he would face a more terrible judgment than his crippling paralysis. We have to know that there will be a day of judgment coming, and every one of us will give account of every word, every deed, and everything you have done. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is with us now and sees everyone, and he asks every one of us, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be saved, which is much more important than healing the body? He will save you and give you eternal life when you believe in him. He is the one who died in your place, paying the penalty of your sin in full. And when you believe in him, God counts the death of Christ on your behalf, and you will be declared righteous and have eternal life. Jesus is asking, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be saved?